From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Shane Madden, better known as Govinda. A classically trained violinist and composer, Madden began tracing the musical genealogy of his family to roots in the Middle East and the gypsy culture of North Africa and Europe. Producing electronic music that's covered genres from downtempo and world to dubstep and bass music, Govinda has built a large network of fans from his base in Texas. On today's show, we explore the ups and downs of Madden's life, which serve as a basis for his deep and passionate work. Today's show is brought to you by Sonic Blossom, taking place today and tomorrow at Cervantes Masterpiece Ballroom in Denver, Colorado. Featuring everything fans have come to know and love about the annual Sonic Bloom Festival, but indoors. Headliners include Ott, Kratty, Janover, Random Rab, and my guest, Govinda. Support also comes from Broad Ripple Music Fest, featuring Alicia, Loyal Divide, U-Matic, and more, beginning at 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon at the Mousetrap in Indianapolis. Tickets are only $5. More info on the web at indiemojo.com. Let's get to the interview with Govinda. First and foremost, you're a classically trained violinist. Did you have stage parents who thrust a violin into your arms, or did you seek out the sound for some particular reason?
Yeah, I had some. I had parents that didn't really care what I did. I was completely motivated to be a violinist. After hearing the song "The Devil Went Down to Georgia," and that's all I wanted to do is learn how to play that song. And funny enough, ironically, I never learned because I went into more of a classical field. I studied classical violin for 25 years, and we just never went that direction.
Did you find the world of classical music claustrophobic? Is that why you sought broader horizons, or is that still a deep passion for you?
I do love classical violin, but what I felt is, first of all, I didn't feel like I was good enough to be a world-class soloist. So in college, at the university, I decided to go into composition. And through the world of composition, I found it limited to compose the type of music that was required of composers at that time. So I branched out and discovered electronic music and popular music. And so that's more why I kind of made the switch to different style. But always incorporated the violin as a unique part of the new music, the new sound.
I wonder, but before we get into the production side of things, were the composers that you gravitated towards what sort of led you in the direction of discovering these new sounds, maybe your Dvoraks or other, you know, Eastern European composers and those who are incorporating folk tunes and maybe leading you towards the almost gypsy sound that you have now?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that, but I guess so. I suppose that the music that I was more attracted to during my classical years was a little darker and more maybe the romantic period of the composers rather than the happy-go-lucky trite Mozarts and whatnot. But even though I love that as well.
Yeah.
I was definitely more attracted to kind of the later kind of 1800s, 1700s kind of 1900s, darker sound, the romantic age.
Sure, absolutely. On that sort of tip, you take your name from a Hindu deity. You've got tracks dedicated to ancient Persian poet Rumi. You've got a purely Roma sound when it comes to violin. From where does this passion for, you know, the Eastern cultures and partially European and gypsy roots, where does that stem from?
Well, definitely. Mainly through my bloodline. My grandparents were from the Middle East. I'm Syrian. And the other side of my family were gypsies that traveled through, up through Northern Africa and South Spain and settled in the south of Spain, and so I have a lot of the blood line that creates that interest for that style of music, and that's probably more where the sound is coming from these days, rather than my classical upbringing.
Did you have elders, grandparents, and uncles who could guide you in the direction as you were on this sonic cultural journey, or did you have to dig in and find this yourself? As a lot of people who grew up in the States, you know, sort of lose their cultural ties to this bland, overarching, general Westernness.
Yeah, and most of my family was that way. However, my uncle on my mother's side was very in tune with tradition from many generations ago. And he, at one point, before my grandmother, his mother died, took her on a cruise and recorded her whole life story on a series of cassette tapes. And it was pretty amazing because we got to hear from her lips about her experience coming over to the States and where her parents were from and what they were like. And it really inspired me. She passed away a year afterwards, and I ended up utilizing some of those recordings as samples into some of my music. But I learned a lot through that process, and it got me interested in my own heritage.
Which side of the family was this?
It's my mother's side, which they were more the Spanish gypsies.
Okay.
My
okay.
My side was Middle Eastern, and that's, I don't have a lot of information about those Arabs other than, you know, just what I feel and what I'm drawn to musically, stylistically.
Title track from the Govinda album Universal On Switch, which came out earlier this year. So tell me about these early forays into electronic music. Were you introduced through friends, or maybe you were studying classical music and seeing how that was seeping in, maybe through a Karl Heinz Stockhausen? I'm not sure what your actual composition background gave you.
Absolutely. It was little about composition and more about the software. When I was in composition school, of course, I was writing for orchestras, and you know, in the beginning, you have a hard time finding an orchestra to play your pieces.
Sure.
I dove into some software that allowed me to get some MIDI instruments to play, and I could notate. And that kind of got me into learning about the electronics of creating music. And the more I dove into it, the more I appreciated the subtleties in how to tweak the different instruments and make them sound different. So actually, it was not, you know, being inspired by the music itself. It was just like the process. And then through that, I got, you know, introduced to the people that were making modern electronic music. And of course, I loved it. I couldn't get enough. So.
And there's nothing that sounds worse than a MIDI trumpet. Just back in the day, I imagine this was, you know, very rudimentary software, and some of those patches and pads just sounded terrible.
And that was part of what steered me away from actually creating orchestra pieces through MIDI instruments, especially when I was doing it, which was in the late 90s. You didn't have the technology that you do now. And yeah, the MIDI sounds were pretty bad.
Was there someone you could point to and say, yeah, I want to do that? Or were you almost making things up as you went along?
I did make a lot up as I went along. And I think it lends to a lot of why my music is not sounding like anybody else's, which is working for me. It works against me in the way that, you know, I'm disconnected to the pop culture or the electronic music culture in the way that people, it's sometimes a little too different. People are like, oh, I don't know about that. So I'm trying to find somewhere to meet in the middle.
Along those lines, though, you're coming from this world music, this lounge music scene, and being embraced by an entirely new audience, fans of your random Rabs or Alicias or fans of dubstep and bass music in general. When did you find yourself either moving in this direction or find the audiences coming towards yours?
Well, in the last few years, I've started to play a lot more live shows. Before, it was much more of a recording project, and I got the opportunity to be on a lot of great compilations like Buddha Bar and Nirvana Lounge. So the sound was more loungy. Since I've started to play more live shows, I've noticed that the lounge sound didn't really go over as much. People want to party, people want to dance, and they want their heart to beat faster. And so I started to get a lot more influenced by that culture and the sounds that were coming out during that time. So I started to incorporate those sounds into my own music. And it's really kind of evolved the music in that way. It's a lot faster and a lot more bass and wobble heavy.
Sure. And your music has an intrinsic sexuality to it. Is that part of who you are, or is your music sort of an extension of fantasy? Or I mean, I don't want to get Freudian with you or anything, but it's really integral to your music.
Yeah, it's all of that. I'm very influenced and inspired by the sensual being. Sensuality, sexuality, I think is such a big part of being human. And a lot of people are very drawn to that, but they're also very scared of it. And I want to make it more accessible for people, more okay to feel that on a dance floor even, or in their living room, or listening to music can really bring that out in somebody. And, you know, without it being, you know, porno music, it can be sensual, it can be beautiful,
sure,
and tasteful. And that's kind of what I'm inspired by through the music.
Well, it's been interesting. No, actually, we're having a blast. And the weather is perfect, and we only have 2 days left, and I'm not ready to go home yet. But I am very inspired by the trip, so when we do get home, I will have lots of projects that I want to start, and it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Let Go, rethought by Govinda from Universal On Switch. So let's talk about Universal On Switch, the album that you released in March of this year. I understand it's probably difficult to talk about, but do you think you could tell me a little bit about Andrea Burden, the inspiration for the album?
Absolutely. Well, Andrea was one of my best friends who passed away about 3 years ago. She and I have a daughter together who's 13 now, and of course she lives with me, and I'm raising her. Andrea was a master painter, artist. She lived her art. She was very inspiring to so many people. She was inspiring to me as an artist. She helped, over the years, kind of inspire the sound of Govinda, the things that she was inspired by, the music she was inspired by as a painter, really made me who I am. And so when she passed away, it was a huge blow to all of us. We loved her so much that I wanted to dedicate this record to her. And a lot of the songs and the words on the CD are inspired by her and dreams that I'd had about her after she had passed away. And not only that, this sound, I went back to an older kind of Govinda sound, while keeping the new elements. The old sound is really kind of a sound that she really loved and was inspiring to her. So it's really an ode to her life and her passion.
And if you look at her paintings, there's deep passion, but also sort of a mournful, sorrowful, brooding element too, mysterious and melancholy and all that. But I feel like that is evoked grandly within the music itself, almost a reflection of the paintings as maybe your work had inspired her in the past.
Absolutely. We inspired each other over the years. And there's no accident why her paintings have a similar feel to my music, because we were kind of playing off each other for, I don't know, a decade.
Sure. And in addition to that, there are strains of Eastern melodies sewn right through the fabric of this release. I see a lot of Eastern fusion groups like Not East Warriors popping up around Texas, and you're based there in Austin. Do you have any idea of why this very psychedelic, exotic, and mysterious scene is growing so rapidly in Texas, of all places, the land of barbecue and Walker, Texas Ranger?
I've often wondered that myself. So many years I've tried to get out of Texas, and it just so happens I was born here and my family's here, so it's, you know how it is, it's hard to get away sometimes.
Sure.
Because I didn't feel like I resonated with the vibe here. It's very down home in Texas, you know, it's southern. But I find that, yes, now we have so much more culture and a deeper experience of the world, possibly through the internet, possibly through, you know, the fact that I have been developing this sound and made it okay for other bands to incorporate world music into their sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be presumptuous enough to say that I inspired, you know, all these bands to create their sound, but I've been doing it for a long time, and at it almost alone here in Texas. So
sure.
I'm glad to see that I have other people that are kind of open to exploring that sound.
And was there a go-to artist or collection of styles that inspired this in addition to Andrea's story and her work? Or was, you know, most of the sonic inspiration coming from within?
Mostly within. And of course, there are other groups that I have been inspired by. One of my favorites, mostly there have been world music artists. I love a band called Madre Deus. And they're Portuguese, and it's kind of a folky kind of world sound. I love Shakti, which is a group of amazing Eastern Indian musicians. All this kind of helped create the sound. And, of course, modern electronic music, everybody from the Tippers, the Bass Nectars, and all that. And just I just love music so much. I could never figure out what kind of music I want to make, because I just love so many different styles. So I think that's kind of been why I've collected so many different styles and put them together into one.
Zahi ishq, چه نغز است، چه خوب است، چه زیباست خدایا. چه گرمی، چه گرمی از این ایش خورشید، چه پنهان، چه پیداست خدا. فتادیم، فتادیم بدان سان که نخیزیم، بدان سان که نخیزیم، ندانیم، ندانیم چه خوباست خدایا. عشق که ما راست خدایا، عشق زهی عشق، عشق زهی عشق.
Rumi love poem from Govinda. Let's close out the interview.
So you released this album earlier this year. You're getting a lot of heat. You're playing huge events and great shows, and things are going well for you. And then, not to dwell on the unfortunate here, but I understand you were, for lack of a better word, betrayed by one of your good friends. If you don't mind, do you think you could tell us a little bit about that?
You bet. Yeah, I took a little guy under my wing, a little 22-year-old guy who was having issues, problems with substance, and you know, I fed him, I bought him lunch, and invited him over, and unfortunately, his addiction got the best of him, and he found a box in my bedroom when I was up in the studio that had a lot of cash in it, and he took off with it. And I never heard from him again. He changed his number and, you know, blocked me on Facebook. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we get bit in the ass when we try to help people out. I'll never stop helping people when I feel the need. But unfortunately, you know, he made off with my savings and about $9,000, which I had this year.
And that's altered your situation completely. I mean, that's a huge chunk of change, and you know, that's affected you beyond just, you know, the money's gone. You know, you got a family, you got a daughter. This is, you know, this is your livelihood.
Absolutely. It's not been an easy road to be a touring musician with two children that I'm raising on my own. So, you know, that I was using that savings to feed them and to create childcare and all the things that I have to do to make life work. And unfortunately, it was a huge setback for me. Nothing I won't, you know, survive, but it's too bad that people have to resort to that. So we're in good spirits, though. We're happy and things are looking great, looking very up for us. And I think it's going to be all right.
So, in positive news, you've got a huge rest of the month ahead between Sonic Blossom and Space Hippies this weekend, Recreation next week, and then you got a show with Tipper at the end of October. That's got to be a thrill.
I love it. I'm so excited about this month.
Sonic Blossom gives you an opportunity to join some of the artists that have inspired you, and then you get to play with Tipper at who, as you said, has been an inspiration to you. What do you do, or do you do anything when you're playing an event in which someone who's so closely influenced you is on the bill. Is there any sort of change in your set, or is it just business as usual?
Oh no, there's change. There's a little bit of nervousness, and mostly the difference is I practice my ass off. I warm up on the violin probably more than I would, and I make sure not mix anything in of theirs in my set.
Sometimes
I'll, you know, most of 99% of what I play is original, but sometimes I'll mix in another artist just on the fly. And I've definitely been known to mix in some of Tipper's beats and into my own stuff. And I probably won't do that when I play with him.
We won't let him know. We'll keep that between us. Shane Madden, Govinda, thanks so much for being on the Young Podcast.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Sylvie Barnett with Groove Style Entertainment. And, of course, my guest, Shane Madden. Catch Govinda tonight at Sonic Blossom or at Space Hippies in Austin tomorrow. If you'd like more information about the recent unfortunate events that befell Shane and his family, or you'd like to help out in any way you can, please visit govindamusic.com/the full story for more details. Remember, you can catch Alicia, Loyal Divide, Shy Guy Says, DJ Topspeed, U-Matic, and a whole slew of amazing electronic musicians at the Jam and Electronica Showcase of the Broad Ripple Music Fest tomorrow afternoon and into the wee hours of the morning at the Mousetrap in Indianapolis. More information on the web at indiemojo.com. The second annual UNS Challenge is underway. We've got 16 competitors going head-to-head in the Bangers category, and your votes will determine who moves on to the final round. Please visit theUNS.com/theUNSChallenge2 for more details and to cast your vote. Win tickets to see Anasia, Scream and Benga, Mastercraft, Wolfgang Gartner, Laidback Luke, and more by visiting theUNS.com/contests. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theUNS.com. Join the conversation @theUNS podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.